They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You know the adage, as a new presidential administration forms, policy is personnel. In a moment, some names, if Clinton, and some names, if Trump. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading today, the key stock market indicators were strikingly up. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, about 20 minutes into trading, was up 266 points, about 1.5%. Similar percentage rises for the S&P. And actually, the NASDAQ in early trading was up 1.7%. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Asset Management Group. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
These stock prices, there seems to be a willingness to embrace a little more risk this morning. Do you see a connection to politics?
Yeah, I think it's hard not to. As soon as the FBI letter came out, kind of, you know, closing out at least this last set of emails here, you certainly saw futures pick up almost immediately after. So I think it's hard not to say that it has something to do with it. And I would just say the markets do like less uncertainty, and crossing out one more certainly looks to be helpful.
The other thing is, individual market participants may or may not like the idea of a Hillary Clinton presidency, but many bet that would be the outcome. So when the FBI news broke over the weekend, I think that may reinforce that bet.
Like I said, I put it in just the typical time where when the incumbent party wins, the market has typically been, you know, calm or up, I'll say, in the time period in front of the election. Anytime you have a challenger in the lead, or at least, you know, looks like they might do better, it's a matter of adding uncertainty. We seem to have, you know, gone back to maybe a little more, quote unquote, certain around a Clinton victory.
All right. Well, we'll see if that plays out. Fasten your seatbelts. Bill Stone, chief investment strategist at PNC Asset Management. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next president will have to make more than 4,000 appointments. Clinton campaign communications released through WikiLeaks in recent weeks are being scoured for hints about how reform-minded a Clinton administration would be on issues like banking, trade, and taxes. Jeff Hauser is executive director of the Revolving Door Project at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive think tank. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
Give me a sense of how you were parsing this leaked WikiLeaks stuff in terms of how it reflects the changing dynamic between Hillary Clinton and the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
I think if you were a savvy observer of American politics from 1995 to 2015, over that 20-year stretch, you wouldn't have thought that Secretary Clinton was a storm-the-banks, anti-Wall Street figure. And that's why I believe Bernie Sanders ran as a progressive alternative in the primary, because there were concerns that her views had not sufficiently changed to reflect the Great Recession and Occupy Wall Street. And I think that it's pretty clear that Secretary Clinton's views have evolved and that her commitments have remained the commitments that she's run on in the general election. She's not swung back to the center in any way. If anything, she is deepened her commitment to a progressive take on economics.
All right. So personnel is policy. If we take that and extrapolate it forward, it's key who gets appointed to these powerful positions in a Clinton administration. You're keeping an eye on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's very important that the public be educated about this process and get an advanced view of what future policy is going to be. And so it's the job of the Revolving Door Project to shed light on emerging personnel.
And in fact, I mean, you do have strong views about who gets picked For instance, among the names bandied around for Treasury Secretary is Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook and Lean In fame. Would that please you as a Treasury Secretary?
Sheryl Sandberg would be an enormous disappointment as Treasury Secretary. One of the key jobs of the Treasury Department is to collect taxes. They are literally the part of the federal government that is in charge of tax collection. And Facebook is even more at the cutting edge of avoiding taxes than it is at technology.
And so we don't know who the eventual pick will be at this point. But another name that's being talked about is the current Deputy Secretary of the Department of the Treasury, Sarah Bloom Raskin. Do you have the same kind of negative initial reaction that you did with Sheryl Sandberg?
No. She does have some private sector experience, but she has spent the bulk of her career as a regulator. She has worked in the government at the state level in Maryland, at the Federal Reserve, and at the Treasury, just to speak, within the last decade. And that's the type of experience and demonstrated commitment to fighting against corporate misbehavior that I'd like to see promoted.
Jeff Hauser is executive director of the Revolving Door Project at the Center for Economic Policy Research. Mr. Hauser, thank you for this.
You're welcome.
This morning, NBC News is reporting who the Trump campaign is considering for top positions. The roster includes former House Speaker Newt Gingrich as Secretary of State, former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani as Attorney General, and RNC Chief Rince Priebus as possibly Trump's Chief of Staff. For the top economic policy position, Treasury Secretary, it might be former Goldman Sachs investment banker Steve Mnuchin. If you miss our coverage of that on the air, it's in the first Marketplace podcast of the day. We were just talking about who might lead economic policy in the U.S. in the next presidential administration. There is news today of a surprise change at the top in China. The finance minister for the world's second largest economy, Liu Jiwei, will step down. He's 66, and they take retirement ages quite seriously in China. But he's also been controversial, pushing for more to pay property taxes in China. The new finance minister of China will be Xiao Jie, who has long experience in China's tax bureau. Now, there's also a report today that the U.S. is starting a new investigation into China illegally dumping cheap steel onto the market. The Wall Street Journal says China may be routing it through Vietnam to avoid U.S. import tariffs. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.